So, did winter come early? I kind of like the change of seasons. I don't mind it. First thing I'm supposed to do is release the children. Since they released themselves, that's good, because if I hadn't written it down, I wouldn't have remembered. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Father, I thank you, Creator God of the universe, Savior of my soul. Lord, it's sometimes hard to think about. You created the universe, and you are concerned with me and each one of us here. Lord, I thank you for your provision for us. I thank you for your love for us. And I pray this day your words will come from my mouth, Lord, that everything that happens here today will honor you. I ask this all, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. The verses I've picked out today are some of my favorite. And where did I put that one? I changed this around at the last minute. 2 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I love those words. That God came to love us and for us to love one another. And so sometimes the question, for most of us, it is for me, how does that play out in my everyday life? Do people know I'm a Christian by the way I act? Do I show enough love that they know God has set me apart for his service? How are we to treat others? Jesus said a great deal about how we treat others, and we can learn from what he did and the way he treated others. The only time Jesus was harsh was when he was reprimanding the corrupt officials or the people selling in the temple. Other than that, he loved people, the broken people, the hurting people, the tax collectors. He loved the people. He loved them all. And for me, and I hope for all of us, that will be our goal in life, is to love. To love the Lord and to treat others as we want to be treated. Matthew 27, 37 and 39 says, "And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like it. You should love your neighbor as yourself.'" And Matthew 7:12. "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law of the prophets." God has called us to a very difficult walk, to love others as we love ourselves. And we do love ourselves. I mean, we all want to be comfortable. We all want to be happy. We all want to have our families and all these nice things. But we're supposed to do the same for others, and that can be tough. That can be tough. Recently, there's somebody I'm very angry at. I've watched this person be absolutely cruel to others, and I've been so angry about this. And I've been asking the Lord, "Lord, what can I do? What should I say? I want to show this person how disgusted I am with their behavior." And the words the Lord spoke to my heart, he told me to love them the way I want them to love others. That was not what I wanted to hear. I wanted God to justify my anger. I wanted to be able to let them know this is not okay. But that's not what God spoke to my heart. How do I be kind with somebody who's being so horrible? Well, I got to figure it out. Well, what I do is I keep going back to Corinthians. Love is patient, love is kind. I can be patient and I can be kind. I don't have to like this. I don't have to do a lot of things, but I can be patient and I can be kind. John 13, 34 and 35. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." That is such a hard walk. That is such a difficult walk. And the closer we are to people, sometimes it makes it even harder because they know us and we know them. And we know their flaws and we know their warts and their wrinkles. And it's like, okay, Lord, I can be patient. I can be kind. We have a large family. We have 5 kids and 17 grandkids. And when everybody's home, it is chaos. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and say, oh, I don't even want to go down there. I can be patient, I can be kind, because it is difficult. Life is difficult. And I think the more we work, the harder we try at being patient and kind, the easier it becomes. The easier it is to just take hold of those words from Jesus. To love means to be kind when you're angry, to keep your mouth still when you want to let somebody know your anger. When there's friction in the family or the workplace or the neighborhood, there are appropriate ways to deal with that. And actually, we'll talk about that next week. But today it's about love and how we love one another. How do we love when we're angry? Hurt, rejected, lied about, any number of painful situations. Again, from our verse, love is patient, love is kind. I tell myself that so many times over and over. And when I find myself in a tough situation, I'm frustrated. I can get frustrated pretty easy. The verse, or the song Jessica had, Peace Like a River, I sing that to myself over and over until I can bring my emotions down to where they should be. Not frustrated, not raging, not prickly, but peaceful and loving. And it's a challenge. Every day it's a challenge. Every day it's a challenge. I get up. I have become, as I've gotten older, this huge introvert. And it's when nobody's around, I'm happy. It's like, this is great. I don't have to talk to anybody. Well, that's not real. And that's not how God wants me to react with people. And so when I wake up and I think, oh my gosh, what do I have before me? And I just say, okay, I have peace like a river. I can be fine with this. I don't have to get myself all excited. I don't have to be dreading what's going to happen. Okay, Lord, your will for my life this day. Let me do it. Matthew 16:24-25. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come to me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever will save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? What shall a man give in return for his soul? John 12:27-28, Jesus' prayer. My soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come. Father, glorify your name. Jesus came, the God of the universe came to give his life away. He gave to lay it down. He purposely did that for us. And that's what we're called to do for others, to lay down our lives and to give, not take. And it's hard. It goes against that whole sinful nature that happened with Adam and Eve. It goes against every grain so often, but it's still our call. Our call is to lay down our life, to help others when we don't want to open our house when we're tired and grumpy, to cook for people when they show up unexpectedly and all I want to do is go to bed because I'm tired. That's what we're called to do, the little things. And when you can do it in the little things, the big things come easier because you're training yourself, you're training your brain, you're getting some muscle memory about how we're supposed to treat one another. When we give of ourselves, God will give back to us. There have been times I've been involved in situations, and most people know I'm a pastor, but I'm also a chaplain. And I work with some pretty awful situations, some of the worst you can imagine. And they wake me up at night sometimes, and I pray because I can't sleep with all this angst and frustration and all these things I've just seen in my head. But when I pray those nights, sometimes I'll lay about 3 or 4 hours. Those mornings I am not tired. God always honors that. He honors that because he's called me to pray for these situations. That's why he's put me in them. And so when we give of ourselves, God also gives back to us. It's not that we just give and we're all spent, run over, and beat up. No, He will pour back into us. What we give, given, it shall be given to you. Pressed down, running together, flow overflowing, whatever that. He promises that when we give of ourselves, He will give to us. So we don't have to worry about what we're going to do, how we're going to do that. How God, I'll do what you're calling me to do. You take care of the rest. That has never failed me. Never, ever failed me. Mark 10:42-45. Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. For whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever be first among you must be a slave to all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and give his life for the ransom of many." Again, difficult words. Even more difficult to understand and put into play. I think for me anyway, and I know for many people I talk to, our ego is our strongest sinning machine. We want to take care of ourselves. We want to feel important. We want to know that what we're doing is making a difference. We want people to appreciate. That's not what God has called us to do. We don't come to get the accolades. We come to serve. And if the accolades come, good. But if they don't, that's not what we're here for. That is not what we are here for. We are to be a servant, a slave. Jesus uses these words, and that's what he did. He poured himself into the people around him. He didn't take. He didn't say, you know, aren't I lovely? No, he prayed for the sinners. When he was tired, he did leave and go and pray to his Father. And so for us all, we all have to keep some sort of balance. If we know we're getting sick and it's time, the Lord is telling us to take care of ourselves, we need to do that. But still, our best discipleship tool is to love one another. If people know we are Christians because we love them, what a powerful testimony. I became a Christian in my first year of college because the girl in the dorm next to me was so full of joy and love. I was like a fly to a light at night. I couldn't get enough of her. She was, and finally it's like, why are you so happy? And she was a Christian and she had joy and it was attractive. And it changed my entire life because I was not a happy person at that point in time. But seeing the joy, seeing the love changed me. She never said a word about her faith till I asked her. She was that honest, and I learned such a lesson from that. Now, have I always practiced it? Absolutely not. I wish I could say I have, but it is a tool. Love is God's tool, our biggest tool in the box, to discipleship, to save, change the world. John 12:24-26 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will be my servant also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." I love those words. I want the Father to honor me. When I live my last breath or breathe my last breath on this earth and I'm before our God, I want to be able to say, "I did it my best, Lord. I messed up a lot." And when I mess up every day. I say things I wish I hadn't, get grumpy. You know, they say, watch your mouth in public and watch your mind in private. You know, I start thinking negative things. I have to stop and just focus on what the Lord wants me to do and confess. And I do a lot of confessing because I have to. But that's the important part. He already knows. It's not like I'm hiding anything from God. He knows when I've had a bad attitude or have done something I shouldn't, have been sharp with somebody or not been generous. He already knows. Confess it. Get it out of there. And God will change us. He will change us. Matthew 25:41-46. "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not welcome me. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick and in prison and did not minister to you? And he said, truly, truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. When we see somebody in need, we need to do something about it. There are times I see a need and the Lord will be very clear to me, this is not your issue. But there's most times he'll say, you need to pour into this, whatever it is, whether it's an emotional situation, a financial situation, somebody needs something and we can do it. We are responsible. And if we don't, God will ask us about that. And again, I want the Father to honor me and not say, look what you didn't do. My husband and I were talking last week, and it's like, I am responsible for everything I say and do and everything I don't say and don't do equally. Jesus, it's not just an obligation. It's our walk as a Christian. It's our calling as a Christian. When I answer the Lord, I want to say, I did the best I could, Lord. And I believe every Christian wants to say that. But how do we do it? How do we manage it when our flesh, our ego, our sin gets in the way? We confess it and we turn to God and we turn to our friends or our pastors or anybody who can be there for us. It's never, ever too late to do the right thing. Never too late to change our mind. Never too late to go apologize. Never too late to do what is right in God's eyes. Think of Paul. He spent his early years horrible. He was one of the most respected people in the hierarchy of the church, but he was vicious to the Christians. Who did God call? The vicious man. And look at Paul wrote most of the books in the New Testament. Luke is the only other writer that wrote more words than did Paul. But nonetheless, God called a vicious sinner. It's never too late to turn away from what we did. Long-standing feuds in our family, we aren't allowed to have them. We're just not. We are called to love our brothers. If we know we have an issue with our brother, we're not supposed to go to the altar. We're supposed to go make it right. It doesn't say who was right or wrong. It says we, as Christians, are supposed to go make it right. The Lord told his disciples to forgive 70 times 7. How many times do we forgive once or twice and get disgusted? That's not our calling as Christians. It's just not. And as Christians, if we can show people we love them, we're going to have to lock the doors to keep them out. People are attracted to love. When I'm in Pakistan, and it's amazing. You've seen the videos, how many people come. They come for the love. Islam doesn't teach love. Jesus teaches love, and they come for it. Those services where there are anywhere from 7,000 to 12,000 people, every one of those people are searched. There's not a big, broad door they walk through. They start coming early in the morning, and they're searched because that's the way it has to be in Pakistan. But they come for the love. They love it. And there's probably, for many of them, no other place in their whole world where they can receive love. And they know they're taking their lives in their hands, but that's their choice. That's how attractive love can be to people. And when we show it, God will bless us. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. That is the ultimate reason why we do it, to glorify our Father in heaven. The best form of evangelism is just to love. Let your light shine, let your good works be evident, and let God get the glory. Again, 2 Corinthians, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable. It does not resent. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hope all things, and endures all things. Brothers and sisters, if anybody is having a problem showing love or forgiving somebody, Pastor Charles and I will be here to pray with you after the close of the service. And Dan, could I ask you to shake hands for people on the way out? So that Charles and I will be here. Because it is tough. And I've had a lot of people pray for me to get over some of my grouchy issues, or whatever you want to call them. But in closing, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Be at peace.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, they will know that we are your children by the love that we show, the love that we serve with. So, Father, we are understanding today as we leave here and enter into our mission field this week for those you bring us into contact with, that love that is agape, unconditional, is attractive, and it brings joy that piques curiosity within the unsaved. So, Father, help us to let them know that we are Christians, because our love is from Christ, and it is all that we are, in word and in deed. Help us, dear Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.